Here's the dynamic. Nate Buchady is absolutely talking Stan Weber's ear off about how to pronounce soccer names. We've got the Red Hot Royals. Mike McFarland's on the line. Mac, you don't want anything to do with this conversation. Unless you do, would you like a 10 to 15 minute tutorial on how to pronounce soccer names from Nate Buchady, Mac?
Negative, Ghost Rider. No chance on that.
You sure? Stan is furiously taking notes. And
I can say messy like everyone else, and I'll leave it at that.
Stan almost tried to jump off the balcony halfway through the conversation, but that's fine. we're getting to where we need to be.
Put me out of my misery.
Thanks for coming on, Mike McFarland.
Mike
McFarland as a father, coach, person, dad. So I'm going to let you talk about baseball, but thank you.
Stan has never been so happy for a segment of radio to begin. He kept looking at Dre.
For his shift to end.
Is this commercial break almost over, Dre?
My watch has ended.
It's like, now there's double R's. You roll the R's. And so.
Could never roll the R's in Spanish class, so still don't even try.
Do it for Mac, Nate. Come on.
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think of who has a double R in baseball. There's a lot of guys.
If you had
somebody like Julian Carranza.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
I practice that all the time.
Talented tongue, Nate.
Mac, these Royals have won 7 in a row. They held the Astros to a field goal yesterday, winning 13-3. They swept the White Sox, and now they swept the Houston Astros. They're 9-4. Bobby Witt Jr. went crazy yesterday. Vinny Pasquantino has 8 ribbies in his last 2 games. All hell's breaking loose, Mac.
Well, Jr.'s been consistently hot since the start of the season. And Vinny is back to his me man, me hit ball hard mode. But he's so much more balanced, and we had talked about the need for him to settle in against, you know, not spring training pitching, but the big league level pitching, and he's just flat out venting right now. You know, the Astros were their first hot check, their heat check, so to say, and they came in and punched them in the mouth, didn't care who they were. They're just young and a little bit wild right now and on a roll, and quite honestly, yeah, you knew that the bats were going to be better this year, but holy smoke, it's not, you know, throw the White Sox series out. They've been playing good ball. You know, now they go to play the Mets, probably going to be a little bit rainy and cold. But Bobby Witt Jr. is just the one that's setting the example. I mean, yesterday the wind was blowing in from left field, and both of those home runs he could have very easily have pulled, but stayed inside the ball, got it up into the wind, and smoked them, and yeah, they're on fire right now, and you want to talk about a fun clubhouse going in earlier and earlier every day just to be a part of the laughter and the camaraderie and all the other stuff that's going on. You couldn't have asked for a better start for them, and Coach Q has to be pleased just how they're playing free and relaxed and going out and stomping on people right now.
So we're gonna hear a lot of these, you know, first time since this or first time since that for Bobby Witt Jr. this year. Drake rolled out this stat earlier today. So he's the first. This has only been done 14 times since 1969, and he's the first player in Royals history to do it in one game. 4 hits, 4 runs, 5 ribbies, 2 homers, and a steal. Did all those benchmarks. And it just that, and it's like you're talking about wind blowing in. I mean, it looks like he's just going out there, and he just looks like you created a baseball player in a laboratory. He can do it all. He can affect a game in so many different ways. And like Stan Weber brought up, too, remember, we're not that far removed from the conversation about, well, is Bobby Witt Jr. really a shortstop, or do they need to move him to center field? Now, but that was a legitimate question for a lot of people, and now that seems ridiculous. And now we wonder, I mean, what is the freaking ceiling for this kid?
No idea, but the fact that even when your second baseman tries to take you out with a cross body block, you can hop over him and still throw a bullet to first base kind of sets the precedent for you. But, you know, how many people were saying, oh, this big contract for Bobby Witt's going to change him? Well, it changed him all right. It made him better. He's even better than he was last year right now. Yes, he's extremely, extremely hot. But any thoughts of the money was going to change the way that he plays the game, which is aggressive and hard and doing all those things, the epitome of five tools, yeah, I think he's doing just fine, thank you.
Hey, Mac, I wanted to talk about Matt Quatraro a little bit because, you know, obviously a guy's not going to get any love when his team's losing 106 games. But one of the things that really struck me last year when we were learning about him and the team was going through such a terrible stretch, and they had a lot of stretches where it's like, man, they can't buy a win. I remember one of the few times I got to go down and cover the team afterwards, I asked him if he has to force himself to stay even keel, because he just seemed so even keel through all of it. He never seemed to be just beside himself upset last year. And I asked him if he had to force that or if that's just that's just how he is. And he said, look, I can't be phony. I'm not the kind of guy that's going to go turn the food spread over. If I did that, the players would all know I was a fraud. I'm a turn the page guy. Every day is a new day, and we got to keep our same focus. I wonder how positive that is, because I watch him now when they're on, you know, riding this high and they're in a 7-game winning streak and they can't do anything wrong. And he's got a smile on his face, but he doesn't seem like he's getting too high either. He just seems like he's got those guys all saying the same thing. Hey, tomorrow's another day. We're going to go win another game. How important do you think that is? It was obviously important last year, but how important is it now on the flip side when things are going this well?
Well, I think he's allowed to manage a little bit more. You know, last year he was grasping at straws. Well, let's try this guy. Well, let's try that guy. Well, now your lineup's pretty well set. You have arms galore in the bullpen. You know, everyone's talking about the blowout, but he brought in Zerpa to face Kyle Tucker with the bases loaded. If Tucker plugs the gap, that might have been the first chink in the armor where now it's a ball game, 9-5, 9-6, whatever it would have been. But pulls the trigger on Zerpa, gets him in there, gets the out, and everyone, you know, exhales and go out and let's score some more runs. So the fact that he's allowed to be a little bit looser, not second-guessed for all the decisions that he had to make last year when he didn't have the talent that he does this year, especially in the bullpen and the reserve players and things along those lines. So, you know, I'm sure the veterans in the clubhouse are keeping that same mantra. Let's just keep it going. Tomorrow's another day. We still got 150 guys, whatever it is, left in the season and keeping that going. But deep down, you know, that had to be one hell of a fun plane ride going into New York yesterday for sure.
Again, we have Mike McFarland on the line. And you briefly mentioned Vinny Pasquantino, and I want to get back to the Pasquatch, because up until 2 days ago, he didn't have any ribbies. And he admitted that he was frustrated. And now, in the last two games, he has 8 runs driven in, and he has 6 hits, and it just you could tell how relieved he is. But he said some interesting things besides dropping some F-bombs, which we all appreciate. He said, look, of course I was frustrated, but it doesn't effing matter when you're winning. It doesn't matter. And so there's an element to that, yeah, okay, sure he was frustrated, but not so much pressure was on him because everyone else was picking up the load and they were winning games. But, man, if this kid gets going, then you're really going to see something, because to have him protecting Bobby Wood Jr. in the lineup, and you're already seeing that, he's going to see even more pitches, and that's going to carry down to Michael Garcia and everything else. Tell me about Vinny and what you were seeing from him early and what you've seen from him the last couple of days that suggest he's going to start clicking and really get hot, because when he gets hot for about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, and carry a team, so to speak. Clutch hit needed. Vinny's there for you. And I give Coach Q some credit. I'm sure there was a lot of talk about taking him out of the 3-hole, and Vinny rewarded him with getting hot and in that 3-hole. So, no, look, we all know he can hit. I knew it was only a matter of time before he'd start getting on a roll. But now he's back to that controlled, violent swing that he has that endears him to the fans when he steps in the box. He's not looking just to put the ball in play hard. He's looking to take people's lips off. And that's the type of swing that we know and love from him, because he's just that kind of guy. But he's staying on the breaking ball so much better. He got one or two hits, and you could just see a big exhale from him and say, okay, here we go. All right, I'm starting to feel it now. And any ball in the zone whatsoever, he's barreling up and doing it with authority. So just the fact that once you get on that start, he kind of got over the hump a little bit, so to speak, and has just taken off. And it's fun to watch when he's in the box, because it becomes like when Junior's hitting, it's must-see TV for me.
Hey, Mac, is this bullpen good or bad? I mean, all of a sudden, at the beginning of the year, they looked like they were going to be the big weak link, and now all of a sudden they've been terrific through this seven-game stretch. What kind of bullpen is this?
They're settling into their roles. They're getting comfortable with the routine of what they know they need to do to prepare and what potential innings, if there's any problems. The difference is the damn starting pitching's just been so consistent, you're able to settle in. They're giving 5-6 innings and going, okay, well, here's the seventh. That might be mine. I better get up, get going. And the back end has done their job as well. So I still think there's a little bit of work to do there in getting in when they start running into some hot teams and find out really what stuff they're going to need to get those guys out. But again, you don't want to be that pitcher. I think Bod said it best. You don't want to be that pitcher that breaks up the streak. Whether you're a starting pitcher or a reliever, you don't want to be the one that goes in there and gets a third of an inning in and gives up three runs. Or you're the starter that gets knocked out in the second or third inning. I like Cole Reagans, didn't have his best stuff the other day, yet still gets him deep into the game, gets through five with a lot of pitches. But again, it just shows the competitive nature, I think, of some of these kids that we didn't know they had previously, because last year they're the ones that are returning. They're just going in to get work.
We have Mike McFarland on the line. So this, I think this is interesting as well. Michael Massey has not yet played for the Royals this year because he was injured. He went 3-for-4 last night, and he's now 6-for-12 in Omaha on his rehab assignment. The Royals think a lot of him. He showed a good bat in the minors and also won a gold glove in the minors. He had his struggles last year, but he showed some flashes. And Randy Dozierli pointed out that going into yesterday, the Royals' second baseman had a 563 OPS and still don't have an extra base hit from their second baseman. And so Michael Massey, he doesn't have to come up and be a superstar, but you could get some improvement there from Michael Massey, who has shown a good glove and shown a good bat in the minors, and the Royals do like him. And so what about the idea that Massey can come in and just make the Royals just a little bit better maybe?
Absolutely. Plug in another part that is going to improve your team. Thing is, you're on a roll right now. Do you really want to mix things up? Not necessarily. I think they're going to let him continue to get it, and then that decision's got to be coming soon as far as needing to recall him or option him. But it still boils down to, can he make our team better? Yes. And if he can, then we bring him up.
Well, I'm with you there. And so let's get in to this next series now. The Royals will take on the New York Mets, and it's a 6:10 first pitch tonight. Then back-to-back 12:40 first pitches coming up on Saturday and Sunday. So, again, another opportunity for the Royals to take advantage of a team. Well, they put up 16 runs yesterday, so maybe the Mets are starting to figure things out. They're 5-7, but they beat the Braves 16-4. And so let's talk about what the Royals need to do to continue this winning streak. Alec Marsh will get a chance to pitch on Saturday, and so we'll talk about him. But Michael Wacha goes first. He's tonight against Luis Severino. Wacha's been terrific. What have you liked about Wacha? And then tell me what we need to see from Alec Marsh to bounce back.
Well, Michael Wacha, you know, accuracy over velocity. He's been commanding both sides of the plate with his fastball, and off speed with his changeup have been just outstanding. He's got a good feel. And the thing is, when your team is scoring runs, when your lineup's as hot as it is, it allows these pitchers to go and attack the zone a lot better. The Mets put it on the brace pretty good yesterday. They're starting to feel themselves a little bit. You know, you haven't had a real hot Alonso yet, and there's some pretty damn good left-handed bats in that lineup. But, again, the way the Royals are swinging the bat, everyone's still waiting to see, you know, if the shoe drops on the Royals. But right now they're not counting on themselves to get the job done because they know the guy behind them can get it done. So it's taken a lot of the pressure off of the hitters in the lineup, and the pitchers can go out there and attack, and veteran pitchers know how to do that. And I think Michael Wach is a good person to start this first game of the series. And Alec Marsh, with his breaking ball and just enough fastball to change speed, you don't see Brady Singer overthrowing anymore. You see him starting to command the zone a little bit. And again, when you have those veteran pitchers around there, they know how to do it. They know how to talk to the young arms about which way is better. Harder is not always better. But they're getting that strike one and then expanding the zone, which is the best recipe for success. But it's going to be a good series weather permitting out there. I know they're going to go into a little bit of cold weather out there, but looking forward to that series. And get a win on the first two games, have a good night out Saturday night in the big city, and go for the sweep on Sunday. Because look, the way they're playing and the confidence that they're playing with, they're looking, it's not used to be, oh, I hope we can win the series. They're going out and taking the series in the first couple of games.
It's brings back some fun memories seeing the Royals go to Citi Field and play the Mets, doesn't it?
Unless you're one of the fans in the stands that were getting you-know-what poured on them and everything else. Yeah, good old New York.
I got to take my kids to a game there a couple years ago, and I was like, you know, this is where the Royals won the World Series right here. And I was saying it loudly to all the Mets fans around us could hear.
good way to get punched, Nate.
Yeah, you know what? I've been told I got a punchable face, Max. So it, you know, might as well back it up. And it was, it's crazy to see how much money the Mets have, and how, you know, some teams, yeah, you can compete in Major League Baseball because you can spend more money, but it doesn't always mean you're going to win, does it? Just because you spend a whole lot of money.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, they spend an absolute boatload on arms. A lot of the teams are, with these arms blowing up right and left, it seems. You know, I still think it's got to be a good mix of veterans, which they do have, and building up some of the young talent that they have. When you go out and trade and make all these changes and signing these big free agents, you tend to lose the farm system and you lose the developmental side of things in the minor leagues with some prospects that are coming up that you don't know how they're going to turn out. So that's the downfall of some of these high-spending teams, is they can't develop and get them to do the, quote, Mets way and play the game that way. You're just trying to plug in guys from around the league that you think can help you out, and sometimes it just doesn't work out. So, you know, they're a good ball club. Trust me, they can swing the bats a little bit, and they can get on a roll, and they do have a couple good arms to deal with. But, again, it's going to be a fun series to watch, and it was always fun going in and playing the Yankees and putting a beating on them. Up until they started to get some guy named Rivera and Posada and all those other guys go in there, and you're just hoping to win a game. It's a little bit different in the state of New York right now.
Hey, Mac, you know catchers better than anyone. How would you evaluate what you've seen from Salvi so far behind the plate?
I like the split with keeping his bat in the lineup and moving him to first base. He's serviceable over there, and Fermin does a good job behind the plate, comes in with a lot of energy that I like. You know, look, he's not the 28-year-old Salvi anymore. There's going to be times when he's going to have some aches and pains and things like that. He has to, and just hope beyond hope that he stays healthy, because we do need that back, because he can change the game with one swing, and his presence in the lineup is also a security blanket for everybody around there, because he's been through every possible fire that you can put him into and come out the other side. So He's done a good job behind the plate. His arm's still holding up. He still looks agile enough. But, yeah, age is catching up, and we need to get as much out of him as we can here next few years.
So people are obviously super excited about the seven-game winning streak, but we keep having to qualify everything with it's early, it's early. And we know that there's going to be some downtimes where the Royals struggle and might have to battle a few losing streaks here and there. But based on what you've seen these first couple of weeks, what's a realistic, legitimate ceiling for this team this year? What can they be this year?
Well, I told you at the start my pick was 500, and I'm sticking with that. But the eternal optimist in me says, again, this American League Central is wide open. There is no team in there that scares me. The Indians have gotten off to a good start, which is a little bit surprising, and they can swing it a little bit, but they don't have the pitching that we have. You know, their back end's pretty damn solid with their closer, but still, the Twins do nothing for me. And you know that at some point they're going to have an injury that takes a big guy out of their lineup. So I'm thoroughly convinced that we're going to be playing some playoff baseball games into the month of September with a chance to get into the playoffs.
Mm. Mike McFarland, as always, thank you so much for the time. And we will talk to you again next week.
Have a good weekend, boys.
That's right.
Before we end this segment, can I wish a happy birthday to my Aunt Jerry? You know,
yes.
Aunt Jerry.
Sure, I do.
Up in Lawrence, Kansas. One of the.
What's she doing right now?
I don't know. What are you doing, Aunt Jerry? Send me a text if you know. But 70 years young today.
Going out to a birthday breakfast.
Hopefully, she's having a good breakfast. You know, maybe a. Maybe a couple of beers. That she's a big Free State
Brewery fan.
No, later tonight. Maybe I don't know. It's a Friday, you know.
I thought you were saying maybe Aunt Jerry's having a couple of beers right now. It's like 8:24.
If she is, I'm not judging her. But Aunt Jerry's one of the best. Always. She is like.
So what if she's having a couple of beers?
Right. A long time public school teacher in the city of Lawrence. Dedicated to doing that job forever. She's just awesome. So we love you, Aunt Jerry.
Where'd
happy birthday. Oh, I'm giving her a shout out on the radio. I probably need to get her a nice present, don't I? That's
asking me for. I mean,
I
you're the only person.
All
that.
My love and respect and appreciation for being a person that really is like a glue person in our
family.
Where
are you going this weekend?
Washington, D.C.
Bring her back. Something from Washington, D.C.
I'll bring her back something from D.C.
What does she like?
She loves the Jayhawks. Well, I'm not going to get her something in D.C. She loves dogs.
Get her a dog in Washington, D.C.
Buy her a dog.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I'll get her a souvenir in D.C.
Right.
I'm taking Kelly to D.C. with me. My mom is going to stay with the kids this weekend, so I need to get something nice for my mom as a thank you for allowing us to have a couples weekend. Wait, Kelly's never been to Washington, D.C. before, so
I've never
excited
been there.
About that.
I'd like to go.
You got to go, man. You got to do it.
I'd like to go there and just smell and feel the corruption. Just blanket myself in corruption and lies.
Just roll around in it, you know?
Make me feel at home.
But you, actually, of all of my friends, I think you would appreciate Washington, D.C. more than anybody.
I have a long history of being surrounded by corruption and lies.
You would
I feel
know.
Like I'd be in Washington and go,
I see how it is.
Now I feel alive.
Yeah. You know, you like American political history, though, as much as anybody I know.
Sure I do.
And it's all there, man. It's all there. Just in one place. It's crazy how much history is there. You would love D.C., you really would. I would highly encourage you to try.
I'd like to go.
Let me take the kids. You would be explaining stuff to them left and right as you walked around
there.
Keep
those kids at home. I'll go by myself.
Okay, yeah, go by yourself.
We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Good song, Drake. I get it. I gotcha. Nate, do you get it?
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
Well, you son of a gun.
I think I'm picking up on the theme
look
here.
Look at this guy paying attention. Who the hell do you think you are? It must be Friday.
Get a little action on all the Purple songs I played when Stan was here.
No, I liked it. Purple Haze. I remember. I get it. I also get our old friend Kevin Ioli. And let me tell you something. If you're looking for great coverage of combat sports, hey, Nate, stop looking. Go to, okay. How about this? KevinIoli.com, including Steve St. John Sr., my father, will be very excited to know, including coverage of Power Slap. He likes, my dad likes, when these people just slap the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
Nothing makes him happier. Yeah. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Steven. How you doing, pal?
Hey, it's been a while since we've talked. Tell everyone about KevinIoli.com.
Well, I left Yahoo on December 1st, and I decided to start my own site. And I, you know, I kind of said I thought for a while about maybe writing for a site like Substack. And while it would have been a good situation for me, and I have a lot of respect for that website, I felt like I wanted to have the complete experience, and I wanted to control everything top to bottom. And so I created my own site, and when I started, I was covering boxing, MMA, Power Slap, as you mentioned. I have an event tonight, and bare knuckle boxing. And the good thing about working for yourself is if you don't like something, you don't have to do it. And I didn't really care for the bare knuckle boxing. I covered two of their events, and then I just said, the heck with this. And I quit covering that. But so I'm mainly focused on boxing and MMA, and I do occasional stuff on the Power Slap. I will be there tonight. And, you know, so I can do what I want, and it's in my own image. And it's going to get better, right? So I have my YouTube channel at youtube.com/KevinIoli, and that is what needs the most work. You know, I'm still working on that, but I got a lot of really good interviews. You know, I've had Dane on, Max Holloway, Justin Gaethje, Alex Bejeda, Jamal Hill, all the stars from UFC 300. And I'm doing what I want to do. And I'm covering combat sports the way I want to cover it. I don't have a deadline. I don't have a boss to answer to. So whatever good is there, you know, look at me. And whatever is bad there and you don't like, you look at me, right? So the burden is all on me. I'm a one-man gang, and so I have a lot of ambitions. But, you know, I'm happy with it, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, I love it, and I hope it continues to be successful for you. And it's a great one-stop shop for anyone that loves boxing, MMA, and for my dad who wants more Power Slap coverage from everyone, yeah, including this show. Let's get into this. And I mean to tell you, look, we're going to talk about UFC 300. But there's a whole bunch of great fights coming up in boxing as well, so now's the time to check out KevinIoli.com. But let's get into UFC 300. Overall, like I was interested to see as the fights were being rolled out, some people complain, well, it doesn't have the main event that I wanted, or this isn't what I expected. Well, other people just are happy that it's such a deep card. Overall, what's your opinion of the card they put together for UFC 300?
I would say 4.5 out of 5, right? I think, or maybe 4.75 out of 5. I mean, really, really good. I mean, it is, in my opinion, the best card that they ever put together before the fights. Now, you know, the fights have to play out and deliver once they happen. And, you know, there have been cards where they haven't been as hyped and the fights have been insane top to bottom. So we have to see that, you know, how it plays out. But on paper, I mean, look at it. You have 12 current or former champions, and it could play out that there's the possibility that you could have 16 champions on this card eventually, because if Yan Xiaonan beats Weili Zhang, she would then make become the current champion. That would be 13. And then you look forward on there and you say, who among this group could also be champion that has never been champion before? Well, does anybody doubt that Bo Nickel is good enough to be the champion? Would anybody doubt that Armand Sarukian, you know, is good enough to be, you know, the lightweight champion? There's a lot of possibility. You know, could Kayla Harrison become the women's bantamweight champion? So right there, if that, you know, those people win championships at some point, you're talking about 16 of the 26 fighters on this card will at one point in their career have been a UFC champion. To me, that's amazing. I think what happened, and I wrote a column a couple of weeks ago, and the headline of it was, does UFC 300 suck? And it was because I think some people thought they were going to bring back the old guard, that, you know, Brock Lesnar was going to fight on this card and Ronda Rousey was going to fight on this card and Habib and GSP were going to fight. And that was never realistic. And Ronda Rousey hasn't fought since the end of 2016. So why anybody thought she was going to fight? Brock Lesnar hasn't fought since UFC 200. You know, so people thought that that was going to happen, and that's why there was some discontent. But the card is a phenomenal card, and all these fights on paper look like insane matchups.
Okay, so let's try to get through some of the fights. And so on the prelim card, you mentioned Kayla Harrison. She's fighting Holly Holm. A tremendous amount of hype around Kayla Harrison. And I know that they're hardcore fans have seen her, but maybe not some casual UFC fans. And Holly Holm, obviously, we've known over the years, is no joke. And so Kayla Harrison, how would this go for her in the UFC?
You know, we're going to know better probably in about 2.5 hours from now, because she will have weighed in. But she, you know, she fought in the Olympics, Stephen, at 78 kilos, which is 172 pounds. And now today she has to make 136. And that is really the only question I think about her. Does she make the weight? Holly Holm is not the fighter that she was a few years ago. She's 40 years old. Still a very good fighter, but I think Kayla Harrison has the potential to be a superstar in this sport. Just an incredibly physically strong woman. She has great takedowns, great grappling. She can submit you pretty much from any position, and she's a very hard hitter. You know, I don't think she's going to outstrike Holly Holm, an International Boxing Hall of Famer, but she takes Holly Holm down, and that ground and pound is vicious. So, you know, I think assuming that Kayla wins the battle with the scales, and I have a story up on her from yesterday where I talked about how she looked, which is phenomenal. I mean, she looks like a different person. And when she sat down for an interview with me, I said, Kayla, you look like half the woman you used to be, right? Because she has lost so much weight, and she looks so good doing it.
All right, let's just kind of go through the early prelim. Give me the fight you're looking forward to most from the early preliminary card.
Okay, the early prelims, I think that's a pretty easy one, and that's Davison Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt, two former champions. Both need the win really badly. They both have fun offensive styles. So that one, it would be the one of the three early prelim fights. That's the one that I really like there.
Okay, I'm gonna struggle with these pronunciations, but Stephen gives them to me just because of my Eastern European background here. The light heavyweight matchup, Jiří Procházka against Alexander.
Prochazka.
Okay. And then
Alexander Rakic.
Rakic. See? Yeah, I was going to get that one right.
Yeah, he nailed it.
What do we think of this matchup?
I think that is low-key could be the best fight on the card, right?
Wow.
That is a fight that is going to be an insane striking match. You know, Prochazka fought Alex Tejeda, who's in the main event for the light heavyweight title in New York in November, and he wasn't 100% healthy. Did really well in the first round and then got caught by Tejeda, who's an insane puncher, in the second, got knocked out. But he is healthy now, and he punches and kicks and knees and elbows from every single angle. Just an amazing striker. And Rakic is more of a traditional striker, but really good hands, really quick, places his shots well. And I think, you know, you're looking at two guys who don't like each other. I don't think Rakic I don't think Rakic dislikes Prochazka, but Prochazka really dislikes Rakic. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to go at it. And I think that fight is going to be one that people are going to say, holy cow, when it's over.
Okay, so let's say if we're looking to put together a nice parlay, I would like your maybe some picks that you feel strongly about. Maybe you've got an underdog or just anything that you particularly feel very good about, prop bets or anything that could be profitable for our listeners.
Well, I have a story up that I posted on Monday, and actually Dana White shared it. He liked it. He shared it on his Instagram feed. But it's the headline is UFC 300, a top-to-bottom look at the year's best card. And I picked the winner of every fight. But I also, what I did was I put three betting lines. I put DraftKings betting line, BetMGM's betting line, and William Hill's line. And then I made, I think, six plays against the number. So there were some fights where I didn't want to make a bet, but I did make a pick. In the main event, I like Jamal Hill, the underdog. When I wrote my column, he was plus 120 at BetMGM. So I picked Hill to win that, and I like Jamal Hill in that particular fight. That is a dog play. Also on the main card, and the odds on this really, really stunned me, and this would probably be my play of the night. I like Charles Oliveira. He was plus 185 when I wrote my column. I think it went down a little bit. I was looking this morning while I was waiting for you guys to call, and I think Sarukian was... had been minus 225, now he's down to minus 200. And so that changed Oliveira's price. But I like Oliveira. I had him at plus 195. So that was one that I liked, right there. Trying to think. Prochazka is another one I like. He's an underdog in the fight. Rakic has been off not quite 2 years. He injured a knee in 2022 in a fight with Jan Blachowicz, and he hasn't fought since. And he's coming back, and he's favored over Prochazka. It blew my mind. So I have Prochazka in that one at plus $1.10.
Okay, real quick, I'll go through some of these, and you tell me who you got, Bobby Green or Jim Miller.
Yeah, that one, I really like Bobby Green in that one. I wouldn't make a play on that one, but I do like Bobby Green.
Aljamain Sterling or Calvin Kattar?
Aljamain Sterling, definitely. I think this is going to be an eye-opening fight for people. I think Sterling, really squeezed a featherweight body into bantamweight for a long time, and I think now that he is at featherweight, you're going to see the real Aljamain Sterling. I like Sterling there.
So many people are excited about this fight. Will this fight live up to the hype? And then tell me who you got, Justin Gaethje or Max Holloway.
I think it lives up to the hype. I would lay 50-1 on the fact that it will lay up. It is such a great fight. I really go back and forth on it on my pick, so I'm going to stick by it in my column. I picked Gaethje. I didn't have a bet. I'm kind of rethinking that as I go along, saying maybe I should have gone with Holloway. But I did pick Gaethje, who's a 9-5 favorite in that fight. So I didn't recommend a play, but I did like Gaethje.
And who's going to win the women's strawweight title fight?
To me, that's a blowout, and that's the one fight I like Zhang Weili in that one. She's like 450, and that's actually one of the few favorites I took on the card. But I laid that 450. I had her at BetMGM at minus 450, and I took Weili to win that one.
How good is Bo Nickel?
I think Bo Nickel is championship caliber. To win a championship, I think it's circumstance, but I think he has. He is one of the great wrestlers of recent history. He's a three-time NCAA champion, and he lost in the finals as a freshman to a guy he had beaten three times during the season. Then he went to the Olympic trials finals, and he lost to the eventual gold medalist. Bo Nickel is a phenomenal wrestler, and he's a great athlete. And I think he has a chance to be a world champion, and even a multi-division world champion. I think that's how good he is. But it's going to depend when he is ready to fight at that level, how things play out. But I think, he's going to be a superstar in this sport, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be around for a long time.
You already tipped us off a little bit, but your prediction for fight of the night?
How do I not take Holloway Gaethje, right? That is the low-hanging fruit, and I would say that. So to not take the low-hanging fruit, and I am still going to still a little low-hanging, I'm going to take Sarukian and Oliveira. Charles Oliveira, I did research, Stephen, and on this card, the 26 fighters, well, 25 fighters, because Kayla Harrison's never fought in the UFC. So the 25 fighters on the card have a combined 130 post-fight bonuses. Charles Oliveira has 19 of those. And so I'm going to say Oliveira Sarukian is your fight of the night. Gaethje Holloway is kind of like, just too easy to pick. So I'm going to pick a harder one, and I will say Sarukian and Oliveira.
And who do you think ends up, and there could be many candidates, but who do you think ends up as the best performance of the night?
You know, I'm going to say Jamal Hill, right? I think Jamal Hill Alex Pineda has already put himself in the UFC Hall of Fame. In his first 7 fights, he wins 2 UFC championships, right? Just an amazing fighter, one of the best fighters in the world. Jamal Hill beats him, and I think you see Jamal Hill become the performance of the night. So I like Jamal Hill to win that.
Great breakdown, and Kevin, again, you cover boxing as well, and so got a bunch of big fights coming up, like, you know, Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia and Canelo and Munguia and Tyson Fury, and you know, which I think is I'm rooting heavily for Usyk, but I think it's going to be a great fight.
I like Usyk in that fight, Stephen. I like Usyk.
Let's go! And so hopefully we're going to have you on to talk more about those fights to get closer. But again, for anyone out there that loves MMA, that's going to watch UFC 300, that loves boxing, tell people all about KevinNioli.com and what they'll find there.
Yep, there's MMA boxing content, Power Slap content. If you want Power Slap 7 content tonight, I will be at the UFC Apex covering that, and it's KevinIole.com.
Well, that stuff can get brutal, those Power Slaps, right? I've watched some of that. That's a different deal, isn't it, Kevin?
Last Power Slap, Tom Brady was there, Charles Barkley, Travis Scott. It was crazy.
Yeah, well, and Kevin Ioli there as well. Hey, Kevin, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, man. Good talking to you. Thank you.
Great talking to Kevin Ioli, one of the very best in the business. KevinIole.com. And yes, if you're looking for Power Slap coverage, he'll be there tonight. Mm. And then at UFC 300. And then at all the big fights. Kevin Ioli, and his last name is spelled I-O-L-E, KevinIole.com. And there you get your fix for UFC, any MMA action, boxing, all the big fights, Power Slap, whatever you want. For any combat sports fan, KevinIole.com. We'll be right back after this on WHB. Did you happen to enjoy the fact, first of all, that my dad's here? Because we're going to do an episode of Hot Mike with SSJ after the show.
Oh, yeah.
Did you enjoy the fact that when describing someone that he believes to be a moron that we were discussing in the commercial break, he told us that it takes that guy an hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes. Is that, did you enjoy that at all?
Your dad said that, I just started blushing.
He's a moron.
I'll take him 90 minutes to watch 60 Minutes.
Yeah. Takes him an hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes. He's a moron. You know, what?
I love that line.
Yeah. Well, you can use it.
Can I borrow that one, Mr. St. John?
No, he's on the phone. He walked down the hall.
He's making deals.
He's already getting phone calls.
Understood.
You know,
I was just on the phone with a buddy of mine, Sapper, who's an A-10 pilot. He's going to be leading the formation in a flyover.
A-10 pilot?
A-10.
Oh, okay.
But he's an A-10 listener.
Great. Right.
He's going to be leading the formation in the flyover tomorrow at Arrowhead. So
I'm
excited for him about that. That's pretty.
Does he know what Messi's playing? Is he able to weigh in on that?
Call him and see. Get him on the show.
Would he tell us, unlike you?
Probably tell us it's classified information.
What have you heard?
I think he's going to play. I have heard that he's expected to play.
Start?
Don't know that. I don't know. I think there's a decent chance he starts. But I'm not. I don't want anybody making any financial decisions based on that information.
That's already happened.
Because I don't know for sure. Lionel Messi's probably the only one that knows for sure.
Right.
But he did play all 90 minutes in their game on Wednesday. Yes. It's a quick turnaround. But he's the kind of guy that if he's healthy, he wants to play. So.
Jake is not here because one of his dogs is having surgery this morning. But Jake is available enough to listen to the Kevin Ioli segment and text in a parlay that he just made based on the information Kevin Ioli gave us for UFC 300. So perhaps he's in the waiting room right now, listening on the app and gambling on based on what he hears in these segments. So,
got to pay for that surgery somehow. Good right work,
there.
Jake.
He said, LFG Ioli.
Oh, Jake.
That's what I like to hear.
That's right.
We're making an impact everywhere. Coming up, we're going to talk to Tim Grunhard. He'll be on the phone because he lives in Florida now. So
that's right.
I don't know. He was in studio briefly last week and then right back out of it. So I'm not sure when he'll be back in studio. Maybe for the draft. Not sure. And then we'll talk to Cam Rogers from the Believe Network about the Masters. And guess what, Jake? Gambling. Gambling on the Masters will be the topic at 9:30. So tune in for that as well. It's very exciting. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.